T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hour number 2, Extra Point Show, Joe DiBiase. Bills training camp continues. Practice right now, actually, at St. John Fisher. Stephon Diggs, by the way, if you missed the update, was not on the field at the beginning of practice. We were all kind of wondering, like, what's up with that? Injury, something? He is on the field. He's in sweats, though, so it just looks like veteran rest day. So that's the update on Diggs. Joe DiBiase, Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio checking in along the way as well. We'll get more updates on the Bills after practice wraps up in the next half hour. Let's continue to bounce around the AFC South, though, a little bit. We talked Colts on Monday. Let's get a scoop on the Titans. Teron Davenport covers the Titans for ESPN, joining me now on the Wester Hotline. Hey, Teron, thanks. Always appreciate you coming on the station. Thanks for being on.
Yeah, no problem. Appreciate you guys having me.
So what's the biggest storyline right now at camp for Tennessee? Is it Burks not being listed as a starter? Is it Malik Willis? I don't know. For you, what's the headliner when you think of what's happened to Titans camp so far?
Yeah, it's a combination of the two. I'll go with Burks for right now just because there was a tweet that was misconstrued and people suddenly think that he's a reserve and he's out of shape and a bunch of other things that aren't true. So I'm going to go with Treylon Burks. He wasn't able to finish his first practice, a rookie minicamp, and then he wasn't available for minicamp, but he lost 6 pounds between minicamp and training camp, and he's had a solid camp. He's stacked days. He's working with Ryan Tannehill. Obviously, he's going to work with the second and third units and Logan Woodside and Malik Willis because those are the quarterbacks he's going to catch from in the preseason. Oh, and he's returning punts as well. So Burks is actually in better shape than what people are outside looking in, assuming, and that to me is the biggest story.
I'm curious why that's happening, right? Like, Chris Olave, for instance, the first round receiver that the Saints took out of Ohio State, he was listed as a backup, and I don't even think I knew about that until this morning, and that happened like 3 days ago. But Treylon Burks is listed as a backup, and everyone's talking about, you know, is he out of shape? And I wonder, like, why do we think that's happening, Teron? Is it go back to him being just a polarizing prospect in the first place? Does it have maybe something to do with when he left that OTA practice on the first day? Like, I don't know. Why do you think it's happening with Burks and not so much with some of these other rookie receivers?
Well, yeah, that's primarily what it is. He really struggled on the first day of rookie minicamp. Like, he didn't make it through. He had to go back into the building, use an inhaler. They put ice on his neck to kind of cool him off. And then he came back out. He practiced a little bit, but really didn't see much from him. And then he wasn't even on the field for minicamp itself. So that precedent was set. But, you know, those who are there every day and watching him every snap, he's jogging. I mean, running back to the huddle after a long route. He's running down the field to dig out DBs for the running backs when they run. He's in shape. There's no issue there.
So A.J. Brown gets traded in the offseason. They draft Burks. They also, people forget, they traded for Robert Woods, too, who we know well from his time here in Buffalo. Is it going to look different? The kind of, what, they've had a primary number one receiver in A.J. Brown. Does it feel like this season it might be split more and they almost have like a 1A, 1B where, you know, like when the Bills play a team with an elite receiver, Teron, will be, all right, who's Tre'Davious White shadowing? Does it feel like the Titans just are going to have two guys that are kind of going to lead the way that in targets?
I think it's going to be split pretty evenly, and it's actually going to extend to the tight ends as well. Austin Hooper was their big free agent signing, and he's someone that I think is going to really step up in the passing game. So between those three, and then you got a rookie out of UCLA by the name of Kyle Phillips, and he's a very shifty guy, very reliable. Even though he's not big, pretty good catch radius. He'll go up and get the football, so that's another option. So I think it's going to be pretty spread.
Teron Davenport on the Wesser Hotline, at @TDavenport_NFL, by the way, if you want to follow him on Twitter for some Titan scoops. How about the quarterbacks? Tannehill obviously is going to be the starter and probably will be for a while, at least into the season. I don't know, can you foresee a situation where Willis comes in, or would it only be, in your opinion, due to injury?
Yeah, I think due to injury. Really, for Willis, it's just kind of like a ground-up experience for them right now. They're literally going from the ground up, mechanics, the operation, getting in and out of the huddle, flipping your shoulders, turning your back to the defense on play action and flipping your shoulders back around and relocating what's going on and where to go with the football. It's really, like I said, a ground up development process. I would be surprised if he plays this year. Now, there could be a little package, you know, that they could install to utilize his ability, but that's about it. Ryan Tannehill has actually looked sharp in camp. And I think he's going to have a pretty solid year. And injuries aside, he should be the guy for the season.
Are there moments at practice where Willis's athleticism has been jumping off the page, the arm strength, the speed? Like, has there been, like, wow plays with him at camp?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was one low red zone 7-on-7. And he kind of rolled to his left a little bit. And he was on the left hash. And he threw it from that left hash to the back right pylon to Terry Godwin. And I'm talking about put it on a rope for a touchdown. And I was just like, yo, that's a throw. And then even a couple of days ago, he had a really nice anticipation throw where, you know, everybody says these quarterbacks, right, that have to win from the pocket. And that's exactly what he did. He dropped back, his back foot hit that third step, and he released a beautiful seam route to Dez Fitzpatrick before he broke towards the inside hash, and it was well placed. And those are a couple of throws that stood out to me.
What else is different about the Titans this season? I mean, is the plan to kind of just recreate what they had last year and hope for better results in the playoffs? Like, it feels like kind of the blueprint is pretty similar to what, you know, what viewers would have seen out of them last year.
Yeah, the blueprint is essentially going to be give Derrick Henry the football and let him do what he does and play off of that. So that's where the play action comes into play. I will say this, they are hitting on some deep passes, and I asked Ryan Tannehill about that, and he said that's just more or less, you know, how things are going, where his reads are taking him. But he has connected with a guy by the name of Racy McMath, who was behind Terrence Marshall, Jamar Chase, and Justin Jefferson at LSU. And he's a 6'3", 220-pound guy, 4.3 speed, and he's using that running down the field. So I would say that's the difference there, some downfield shots. But they're going to need the protection to be able to do that, and they didn't have that last year.
What is the bar set for the Titans this year? Is it win the division? I mean, it seems like it's mostly them versus the Colts, given that the Texans and Jaguars seem to be miles behind. Maybe you disagree with that, but that's usually the conception on them. Is it just win the division, beat out the Colts, home playoff game, and that's kind of the minimum for what would be labeled success?
Yeah, that's exactly what they're looking to do. I mean, success to them is a Super Bowl. Let's not get that twisted, but if you talk to the coaches, the players, they'll tell you right now, you know, they want to win the division, and then that gives them, you know, the ability to get in the playoffs. They want to host a playoff game, and, you know, once you get into that postseason, that contest, anything goes, and that's how they're looking at it.
From your perspective, how different are the Colts? How much more of a threat are they, Matt Ryan at the helm now instead of Carson Wentz?
Well, I think you have someone who will be a little more consistent at the quarterback position, take what the defense gives, and not, you know, consistently try to play that hero ball and have the turnovers. I think that's the main difference. You get Jonathan Taylor another year in the mix, and now he's an established player, so I think that'll help. Yannick Ngakoue coming off the edge would be interesting. So I think they're going to be good. I think the Titans overall have a better roster, and I think they win the division.
Last thing for you, Teron. Teron Davenport, ESPN Titans reporter on the Wester Hotline. The Bills came out with their first depth chart the other day, and there's two former Bill or former Titans offensive linemen that are listed as starters. I think we had you on maybe right after free agency to talk about Roger Saffold. They signed David Questenberry, too. I don't think anyone was necessarily expecting him to beat out Spencer Brown at right tackle, and that might still not happen, but there certainly seems to be a competition there. I don't know. If two-fifths of the Titans' O-line from last year start for the Bills, shouldn't Bills fans kind of expect we should be better, not that we need to because they want to be throwing it, shouldn't you kind of expect that the Bills would be better running the football if they have two pieces of the Titans' O-line from last season?
Yeah, well, see, with Questenberry, you get a very fundamental football. You know, he's technique-wise very sound. He was a guy a lot of times they would use to demonstrate the techniques that they wanted, Coach Keith Carter and Mike Sullivan, the offensive line staff. But I think with Saffold, the main thing is just a people mover. He will move people out of the way, and it's almost like, you know, a bouncer in a club. You know, that's what he would tell me. You know, he was like a bouncer in a club, no white t-shirts, and they'll escort you out if you got one on. So the running game is going to be better. I think pass pro is, that's where Roger Saffold stands to improve, and that was one of the reasons they moved on in addition to saving that $10 million.
Love it. All right, Teron Davenport. For more Titans information, at @TDavenport_NFL on Twitter, or you can check out his stuff at ESPN.com, especially if you go right to the Titans page. Stuff's all over it. Teron, thanks again for joining me, man. Always appreciate you coming on, and maybe we'll chat again once the season gets rolling.
Yeah, for sure. See you guys week two.
Appreciate it. That's right, week all two. Right. Monday Night Football. All right, we got some good Titans information there. Got some good Patriots information today as well. The Bills are currently practicing, and I don't think we've got any other serious updates right now. Diggs not practicing, but seems like it's just a veteran rest day. No sign of an injury. No talk of an injury. So should be good on that front. I like getting the scoop on Questenberry and Saffold. I think I don't need to see the Bills run the ball more. Better? Fine. Better? Fine. More? No. They also maybe damaged the Titans a little bit by doing that. The Titans, you heard Teron there, their blueprint is give the ball to Derrick Henry. It's part of the reason why I don't think this season's going to go well for them. I've thrown these stats out a couple of times. It still amazes me that these are true. Because Henry was on his way to a seemingly legit, like historically good season. He was going to run for 2,000 yards, 20 touchdowns. He was carrying that team. But was he actually better than replacement level? Because there's lots of evidence now, tons and tons of evidence through the years, that your running back is actually secondary to whether or not your run game is successful. Your O-line is most important. Even your pass game, your pass offense, and backing the defense off is as important as who the running back is. And last year, just look at the numbers. Not 1,000 yards, right? In half a season. And you go, wow, Derrick Henry was incredible last season. They could have gone even further had he not got hurt. And it might sound blasphemous to say he was below replacement level, but he quite literally was for the Titans, because his replacements last year were more efficient than he was. Derrick Henry last year in 2021, including the playoff game, he had 239 rush attempts for 999 yards, 4.1 yards per attempt. 4.18 yards per attempt. The other four running backs that got carries for the Titans last season, Deonta Foreman, Jeremy McNichols, Dontrell Hilliard, and Adrian Peterson, all four, they got off the street at different times in the last year or two. Off the street free agent running backs. 261 carries, 1,200 yards, 4.67 yards per attempt. And that group had more average defenders in the box. So the scheme they were playing, it's not like, oh, the defense decided to throw an extra cornerback out there without Derrick Henry. No, no. The Henry actually saw basically the same, or the replacement saw the same. That's all I see when I see Tennessee. I see your blueprint is to force feed a running back that was quite literally below replacement level last year. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. I think what might very well happen is they realize, uh-oh, Derrick Henry's not, he's not worth building an offense around. All right, Tannehill, go get him. Suddenly, your formula to get a good, to get an efficient Ryan Tannehill with lots of play action and light secondaries because the other team thinks you're going to run the ball all the time. Suddenly, that Tannehill has to go into the shotgun and throw the ball 30 plus times a game. And we saw that Tannehill in Miami. It doesn't work. So I don't like their plan A, and I don't really think they have a plan B. If anything, I think their plan B is Malik Willis. I'm not sure they'll ever get to it, but I think if you're the Titans, striking lightning in a bottle with Malik Willis, that's it. How do you be a Super Bowl contender? I think that's your path. I don't think it's all that likely. He's a third-round pick. He's not very polished. Probably isn't ready to start right away, but I think that's what you got to do. Eventually, if the season starts to go sideways. I'm not saying start in week one, but I'm not a Titans guy this year. I think the Colts will win that division. Who the Bills will see on Saturday. I think the Colts will win that division because they can run the ball as well and honestly even better than the Titans do with Jonathan Taylor and their O-line, Quentin Nelson leading the way. But when they've got to drop back to pass, who do you trust more? I trust the Frank Reich-coached offense that's got Matt Ryan at quarterback and a very good receiver in Michael Pittman. I trust that more than I trust Tannehill, Burks, who I didn't like as a prospect in the first place. I do like Robert Woods, but coming off a major injury. So that's where I'm at in the Titans. I don't think it's going to work. I think they're going to have a losing record, and it could go real sideways real quick. In this conference, especially this year, the Bills leading the way, the Chiefs there, the Chargers, the Bengals, the Broncos now, the Raiders, the Ravens, you've got, when the time comes to throw the football, you've got to keep up. You've got to be able to trade blows with the best of the best. You have to be capable of trading blows with the best of the best. I even included Baltimore in there. Baltimore has, to me, done a pathetic job of building a passing offense around Lamar Jackson. They don't even try. But Jackson, he can engage into Superman mode. He did it like four times last year with all those injuries on the Ravens. There were three or four games Lamar Jackson just took over. Even on that team, and I think they are clueless with how to play in today's NFL on offense, they have a quarterback that can take a game over. And all those other teams I mentioned with star quarterbacks, they could put 40 up on you at any moment. They could throw 80-yard bombs over your head at any moment. And you're going to that fight with Ryan Tannehill? You can't do it. Matt Ryan, you know, maybe you can hang around for a little bit. I don't think you're going to win that battle all that much, but you can hang. Ryan Tannehill? Maybe there's not. Am I giving too much credit to Ryan? Is there that big a difference between Matt Ryan and Ryan Tannehill? In my mind, there is. In my mind, Matt Ryan is a better quarterback that I trust more. So maybe that's wrong. Maybe there's not that big a gap between the two, even if I like Matt Ryan more. But that's just, it's part of it's the coaching, too, I guess. Reich versus a Vrabel-led team. 803-0550 is the phone number. Take a timeout here. When we come back, we will hear from Bills defensive coordinator Leslie Frazier. So stay tuned for that. And if we get any more updates on practice and Diggs' status, but again, not thinking that that is going to be anything serious, we will bring you up to speed. Joe DiBiase, Sal Capaccio, we're all hanging out, Bills training camp. I'm in the studio today, Bills practice today and tomorrow before getting to the preseason on Saturday. Coverage of Bills training camp on WGR. It's brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys, by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? And by Northtown Kia, the number one certified pre-owned Kia dealer in the Eastern region. Shop northtownkia.com. Leslie Frazier on the way next here on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.